Hey guys, so this is this week's episode of the Straight Popcorn Podcast. What episode is this? 21?
Yeah,
this
21. Is 21.
I didn't watch any of the materials leading up into this episode, so you get to hear me try to totally fake it through a lot of these trailers, and Brock get pissed at me for not knowing any of the things about this.
He didn't do bad. Most of the stuff that we talk about, he covered pretty well. It was just more on the trailer things. Elle's had a busy week, but this is probably, I feel, one of our better episodes just because it was so off the cuff.
Pretty much.
So I hope you guys enjoy it. There are great talks in this episode. We talk about Grace Jones. Yeah, you know, eat my pussy. That Grace Jones. We talk about how awesome the Dumbo movie is going to be. I think that's going to be a huge Oscar winner. And we also, talked about the new Avengers film and how Universal's taking everything off the rails by creating a Universal Monsters film in the year 2014. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that... Does that wrap up our episode?
Yeah, pretty much. So I guess the only thing really to do now is just to let them listen to it.
Oh, yeah. And, write L some hate mail for not watching the trailers.
Yeah, send all emails to lnichols@gmail.com. That's right. Your hate mail will be directed in the order that it was received.
And if you're in the Los Angeles area, please get some pantyhose and some oranges. Put the oranges in the pantyhose. And if you see L. Nichols at a cafe or anything nearby, just hit him over the head.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Straight Popcorn Podcast. My name is Al Nichols.
And I'm Brock Fenton Sharp.
Man, there is that week leading up to Comic-Con now, because it's just next week, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about this evening. I'm glad to be back. Are you glad to be back?
I am glad to be back.
Yeah, I know.
I missed you, Al.
Yeah, I did too, man. Just a real moment of connection right here. You know, I think we should just really embrace.
I am definitely touching my nipples as we're talking about this. Just letting you know.
I know.
Getting it out there.
I know. I know you're totally circling them and shit like that. I have a mental picture. It's clear.
Sweet.
Well, I guess let's just get right into the conversation. So what is this first thing that we have to talk about?
So, as the routine carries on through every fucking major studio that they're out there, now Universal is cashing in on the Universal Monsters Cinematic Universe with Alex Kurtzman and Chris Morgan.
Okay, Alex Kurtzman, isn't he the guy behind, like, the Transformers or something like that? And I know the name. It's, like, behind, like, one of the big Hollywood stuff, right?
He's a big writer. Mm-hmm. He also was a big writer on Lost.
Oh, God damn.
So here we go. So, okay, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. All right, so they're going to make, you know, you got Dracula, you got Frankenstein, you got Wolfman, mm-hmm. and Creature from Black Lagoon. There's probably another one I'm forgetting. Okay, so they're going to give them their separate movies, and then they're going to come together. Didn't we already see this before in Monster Squad?
Yeah, I was actually starting to think, like, is this like a Monster Squad reboot, like the Avengers? You know, they're like, okay, so we're going to do independent films with them, and then we're going to bring them all together back for Monster Squad, the reboot.
Is this even relevant? I mean, let's be honest, man. Like, the Universal Monsters, there's nothing cooler, but the old ones, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how do you make this appeal to a crowd that puts their face in Facebook all the time?
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is an outdated idea. I think Universal Universal, when I think of them, I think, like, okay, they need to kind of develop into their new monster stuff. Like, you know, Jurassic Park, I still really am into that, and, you know, they're doing new stuff with that. I mean, I would understand if they wanted to go down more that vein, but, I mean, seriously, like, the old Universal Monsters again? That's definitely a misfire. I mean, how many, like, Dracula films have we seen in the last, you know, few decades even? I mean, there feels like there's so many of them that they're just faceless at this point. I don't even remember, you know, exactly which ones. And they've done this before. Like, haven't they? Like, they went out and, like, tried to make more serious versions of these films again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there was Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Right. There was Bram Stoker's Dracula. Mm-hmm. First one directed by Kenneth Branagh. The second one directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Francis Ford Coppola did well.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it had Keanu Reeves to ruin everybody else's awesome performances. and then they made Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, which was actually a pretty cool film.
Yeah.
But it did not do well at the box office.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I mean, if it didn't work in the 90s, what makes them think it's going to work in the later 2010? So I just don't really understand their thinking on this.
I don't know if this was a Universal film or not, but didn't Benicio del Toro play like the Wolfman in something?
Yeah, and there was also another version of the Wolfman with Jack Nicholson called Wolf.
Yeah, actually, I like the Nicholson version, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I maybe like the idea of it. I don't know if I like the film.
And that's fine. It's just more of like when they make these movies, especially now in this day and age, like they're supposed to be making these movies to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what they set out to do. That's why we have a lot of superhero films and a lot of sequels and reboots coming out. So I don't understand them taking something that has been proven for even an older crowd not to work and now throw it at the younger crowd. It just seems backwards to me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, and quite frankly, a lot of these monsters I'm so bored with. I mean, True Blood does them, you know, every teen fantasy novel does them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's like even that damn show on MTV, you know, Teen Wolf. I mean, these things feel like they're so contrived at this point because they just keep going back to the same place. It's like, when are they going to create a new monster? And that's really what I want. You know, like I know that they pulled a lot of these characters from fictional tales and stuff like that, but what about something new, you know, or a fresh take? You know, I mean, there was that one show even about zombies that I thought was at least interesting where, you know, people like were getting smarter from eating people's brains. And it was a little bit different to take on that. But I mean, I really want to see something different. Like, give me a monster that I can really get behind, something brand new, something that you can, you know, do something cool with. I don't see anything like, honestly, from this that I want to be any part of it all.
And what I don't understand, too, and this kind of falls into the horror genre a little bit. It's like they keep, you know, they're bringing stuff like this back, nothing that nobody's asking for, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, like, the stuff that people are real excited about, you know, like our generation's monsters, like Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, Jason, they continue to reboot these series. And it's like, dude, nobody's asking for a reboot. Just fucking continue the series out.
Pretty much.
Like, you don't have to do this.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like they're so fucking tone deaf about, like, what the audience actually wants. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's asking for this.
I would rather have that E.T. film. What is it? Nocturnal Secretions or something like
Nocturnal
that?
Nocturnal Fears.
Yeah. Nocturnal Secretions. I would rather have that than another fucking Dracula film. I'm just going to say
that. I agree.
Yeah.
I 100% agree. And, you know, bring back some of our monsters and bring back the originals because it's not like they're dead.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I don't get it, man. I just really don't. It's just crazy to me that these studios are so tone deaf. And what are you going to do?
Yeah, definitely. Well, moving on from that, so this week we definitely got our first look at Ultron in the new Avengers film, which was pretty, I still don't know exactly how I feel about that, but I mean, I'm glad that they started showing some promotional photos and stuff like that. That was Entertainment Weekly, right?
Yeah, did you read the article?
Yeah, I actually got to read a little bit of it, but I didn't read the entire thing. I was mostly just more checking out the pictures and wanted to see a little bit about it, but fill me in.
So basically, the movie's going to open with the Avengers are kind of been standoffish from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. The Avengers headquarters now is in Stark Towers, which we kind of figured at the end of Avengers 1.
Pretty much with a big A hanging over their city, yeah.
Right. They're having a dinner party to get to know like the officials in the town and the governors and, you know, all this stuff. And basically, that's how the movie's going to open. Hawkeye, Black Widow, all of them are in this room, and Tony Stark has started to create a new leader to fight this new alien race, and the leader that he creates is Ultron,
right?
Which is completely different than Ant-Man. Ant-Man's the one that originally created him.
Really? Yeah. As I recall, that was definitely the case. I mean, I had that feeling, though, that they were going to go ahead and do that, though. I thought Tony Stark would definitely be creating Ultron in this version, even though it is a little weird. I mean, if they're going to do Ant-Man, but they probably are afraid at this point that that's never going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't really... I totally get, like, the change-up. Like, that doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of... It's weird with, you know, Ant-Man being in this film, because I'm sure he's going to make a cameo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I kind of, are you ready for a spoiler?
Sure, go for it.
Vision's going to be in the Avengers.
Yeah, I knew that, and it's going to be Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're actually supposed to explain that it's part of Jarvis.
Yeah, which actually I was really cool with. I like that idea.
Me too.
I mean, I like the idea that they made Jarvis a computer in the film. I was really kind of digging that. And because, you know, it would have been too much like an Alfred Batman situation otherwise. But yeah, I mean, like, I think that's a really good idea. And Paul Bettany as the Vision is just brilliant casting, in my opinion. That's really good evolution. So, I'm down with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing for me to bitch about here. I mean, what I read, I was really into, and I was actually kind of surprised they gave away so much.
Yeah. It seemed like a lot of people were getting upset about certain things about that, though. I mean, I didn't really get that, but...
That's like the entire gay community. I mean, yeah, I love you guys, but I hate you guys at the same time. It's one of those.
Right. Well, I mean, I will say this. I did like Cap's new uniform. You know, it was nice to see, you know, Robert Downey Jr. back in the uniform and stuff like that, back in the suit. So that was pretty cool. I mean, I was just happy to see some of those things. So as far as the look of Ultron, so you were saying he looked a little too cartoony or something?
He just looks too much like he almost looks. You remember the Marvel Series 2 cards?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He kind of looks like that, like the Ultron on there. It looks almost like too out of. It's not really organic, so that kind of sat with me weird. But you know, it may just be the images they chose.
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm not flipping out over it. I just thought it was kind of strange.
But. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad they showed him and everything like that. That was definitely going to happen here as we got closer to Comic-Con. So. Well, so Gotham. Okay, so this is a really interesting thing because I was wondering if they were going to do that, and apparently they very much are. So it appears that in the show they are actually going to be teasing the Joker throughout each episode. So what do you feel about that? What are you thinking?
I'm really kind of trying to understand this timeline before the show even starts.
Yeah, this means the Joker is going to be significantly older than Bruce Wayne, or unless he's a kid. I'm not getting that entirely.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really weird, like, ages in this, and yeah. I mean, that's fine. I understand they're trying to create their new universe, and I'm still excited to see the show, especially after seeing the newest trailer. It kind of set me in even a little bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's not that I found it unexpected that they were going to put the Joker in at some point, and I think it's cooler that they're going to tease that he's coming. It's just I'm interested to see how these age groups line up.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It was like Riddler is, what, 20-some years old? Bruce Wayne is, you know, 10?
You know, every time I watch this show, like, you know what pops in my head?
Mm.
Gotham babies, you make our dreams come true.
Yep, that's pretty much what we're looking at here.
Sorry, oh, I said you can go wash your ears out.
I would love to see little Bruce Wayne in a little tiny Batman costume. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird, well, but I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, I guess that's all it is to say about that, because I want to move on to this next one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So, we talked about this a few weeks ago, so...
So, Power Rangers is happening. We're all aware of this idea. Okay, so this is where I get confused. So they added Robert Orci, who is infamous for, you know, writing the Amazing Spider-Man films.
Yeah.
And they also added the X-Men First Class writers. Mm-hmm. So what this is telling me is they're leaving the camp at the door, and they're going for a full-fledged, serious Power Ranger movie. Probably in the vein similar to what they were probably doing with the Ninja Turtles now, which that actually works with the Ninja Turtles because the comics were actually a serious series before Archie Comics took it over.
Right.
So that makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But can you tell me when Power Rangers has ever been dark and gritty?
I'm still trying to piece this together. I mean, you know, the television show said everything you needed to know about it at the very beginning. Alpha put together a team of teenagers with attitude. There is no making that a serious, dramatic action film. I mean, there's just no way of doing it. You cannot turn that into Pacific Rim, for instance. You know, you can't turn this into, like, this is disastrous. Like, this screams horrible. And I mean, aren't they still doing like that damn Power Rangers show on Nickelodeon or something like that? I don't understand this. Like, there's still part of me like, okay, you could probably pull off maybe some sort of version of old, you know, like Voltron, you know, but this.
Yeah,
this should be totally campy. Like, honestly, you know, Seth Rogen should be like the Red Ranger or something, or like, you know, and they just should like make this into like a total stoner film. That's the only way I think you can make this film.
Well, I'm trying to imagine too, like on a technological level, right? Okay, so remember like the monsters and shit from the show?
Mm-hmm.
They all look like they rolled off the fucking short bus. And I'm trying to imagine them like CGIing like up these monsters, and I'm just dude, it's gonna look like Land of the Lost, but more complex. I don't understand what the hell they're doing there. But obviously they're taking it very seriously. I don't think my kids are gonna like this film. My kids love the Power Rangers. Like, they still watch like every series that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And they like it because it's simple and there's fighting.
Yeah, it's colorful, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I think even adults and stuff like that who still love the show and everything like that, it's more sentimental. You can't take these guys. I mean, they wear multicolor spandex, you know. There's no way to make Power Rangers.
They look like Bee Gees backup dancers.
Pretty much. It's basically, that's all it is. They're wearing spangly costumes with giant diamonds and shit and like screaming. Like, can you think of a really dramatic version of someone screaming, Tyrannosaurus? You know, it's just like, this is ridiculous. This is the most, I mean, oh God. I don't know. I'm scratching my head at these decisions, and they got freaking Roberta Orci from Star Trek and all this other shit.
Yeah, and I mean, you remember the fat guy and the skinny guy on the show? I can't remember their name, but
Bulk and Skull, and I see them on a regular basis up here still hanging out in real life.
So I'm trying to imagine, what's the gritty version of that? You know, like,
yeah,
are they like friends that fuck each other after? Like, does the bigger one rape the smaller one? I mean, I'm trying to understand what they're doing with this, man. It's pretty ridiculous.
I would like to see that. Yeah, I would like to see Bulk, you know. So I would like to see them like a bear and like, you know, in gay parlance, you know, Bulk is the bear. And oh man, what is what would Skull be? He'd be like the otter or something, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Bear and otter.
The bear and the otter or something like that. I would totally love, absolutely love to see that. Like, there's some weird sex play between those characters.
I mean, if they're going to get gritty, go gritty. Just, and you know, eliminate the entire child audience.
Oh, God. I mean, like, this, I just remember this show, like, doing, like, hey, guys, martial arts is for self-defense only and for education. You know, like, they would do those little PSAs, like, the end of every episode. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't get past that. This isn't serious. This is ridiculous. I mean, you know.
I just said this entire thought of, like, the gritty version of that is, like, some dude that's all beat up, and you could tell he's been doing smack, and he's, like, drinking a bottle of, like, fucking Jim Beam. He's like, look at me, kids. Look at what you could become, you know, like.
Oh, God. You know what? This is one thing I do hope, all right? If they're going to make this, then I want them to do, like, the original cast, like, the original characters. And I just want them to, like, okay, so Jason on the show was the karate master, you know, he taught down there at the Juice Club. Yeah. I want them to have all this shit in it, but I want everything to be, like, dirty and grimy. And I want, like, Jason, like, you know, smoking cigarettes all the time. Kimberly's out back hooking.
And like, instead of it being juice, it's like a blue Valium drink.
Or they're just shooting up. They're just shooting up with steroids. Yeah. Like, that's what I want to see. Jason and Tommy shooting up with steroids.
In like 30 minutes of the film is them sinking into a floor and trying to fight their way out.
Oh, you know what's even more ridiculous about this, though? The villains. That's the thing. I saw someone say, I saw someone make a few recommendations for Rita Repulsa, Nicki Minaj. And I was like, yeah.
only if she plays, like, don't even call her what they call her on the show. Just call her Nicki Minaj. That would be, like, the most epic self-satire ever.
Oh, my God. Totally. I would be happy with that, but personally, I think Rihanna should do it.
Rihanna?
I totally want to see her as the bad guy in this. Just, you know, that giant forehead.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. I'm looking forward for this to come out.
Yeah.
For no other purpose, for me just to go sit in a theater and watch a dramatic version of Power Rangers. This sounds as ridiculous as when I was a kid doing Flintstones for the community.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. This is going to be fantastic.
We got to review that one when it comes out for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so this was really cool, actually. So Marvel is shaking up their comic book characters, all right? You know, we've seen that. Actually, it was another announcement made about Captain America the other day, too, which I don't see here. But anyway, so we got a female Thor now.
Yeah.
You don't seem excited about that.
Well, it's one of those things, like, there's a lot of really great female characters in the Marvel Comics universe.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just write those better?
Yeah, it's true, but I kind of get what they're doing here. You know, every female character, well, not everyone, but many of them do seem like derivative of a male character, you know? I don't really get what's going on. I wasn't even sure if, like, okay, so if this female Thor is their new character, is it actually the same technical person with, like, a gender switch thing? Or, like, that's the only thing I'm not really clear on. Did you get any more information about that?
Well, it would have to be something weird because it doesn't, like, the crest or whatever. Well, I don't want to say crest, but you know what I mean. Like, the whole saying behind the Thor thing. Doesn't it mention he a bunch of times has to pick up the hammer?
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty much the only one who can wield Majorna, you know, so.
Right. So I kind of wish, like, this is saying one thing Marvel keeps doing. And I understand it's like Batman. They're going to have different interpretations of these characters.
Mm-hmm.
But really?
Yeah.
Like, can't we leave the formula alone? And if you want to have, like, a strong female character, use the fucking characters you have that are really fucking good.
Yeah, I guess. But you know what? I'm okay with it. I mean, I just looking at it this way, it's like, you know, maybe we'll get some Thor films where Chris Hemsworth is a cross-dressing or something.
No.
Hey,
no.
You know what? You give him a nice shave. You put some eyeliner on him. He's going to look pretty. I mean, you know, we can have a female Thor.
I guess. If you like a linebacker.
If they had to recast him, who do you think they would put a female Thor in a film as? Like, which actress?
Grace Jones.
I don't know who that is.
Look Grace Jones up and you will know who that is.
Okay. See, I'll be honest, I just the names that come to mind when I was looking at the picture, I'm like, this girl kind of looks like, you know, Rachel McAdams to a degree.
Did you ever see the movie with Eddie Murphy called Boomerang?
Yes.
Okay, Grace Jones is in that. She was also, I think, at Star Trek at some point.
Oh, okay.
But she's all like, look at my pussy. She's that lady.
That is the name of this episode, everyone.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah. There's some great, great things
but
that have come out of these episodes.
Grace Jones.
Yes, I will never forget the Children in the Attic 5.
Not without my brother's butthole.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, okay, so that's interesting. And then, of course, they announced that Captain America was going to be the Falcon was actually going to be taking over that role. And it was a little bit of a hybrid. Did you see that?
Yeah, no, I was actually okay with that one. But at the same time, just leave him alone, man.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about all the change-ups and stuff like that, but whatever. I mean, they're trying to do something different right now. You know, I get it. You know, they're just trying to be adventurous, but I think I think this is actually the kind of move that's going to piss a lot of people off, because, I mean, like, I've never seen something, like, I posted about that. I just shared a link about, you know, a female Thor, and that got, like, 3 shares. I mean, I don't get anything shared on Facebook that much, you know? And, you know, so a lot of women were behind it and everything like that, which I actually kind of thought was cool. Like, yeah, they're taking one of the major characters, and they're like, okay, there, you know? But you know that they're going to end up undoing that. you know, and it's going to piss a lot of people off, and it's going to make people angry, and yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to check it out, and I'm not, you know, I'm one of those people, like, it's first impression, I'm like, what the fuck, but I will check it out and give it its fair shake, so we'll see.
Yeah. You go for the next one.
So, because I feel like we're confident in kind of predicting this was coming, which I have to point out because we've had a pretty good track record of it. Amazing Spider-Man franchise is in flux as Robert Orsi leaves the third film.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not surprised by that at all. I mean, so I guess, who directed the first two?
Mark Webb.
Okay, so Mark Webb is not involved with the third one, right?
It doesn't sound like anybody's involved with the third one now.
But it was going to be Roberto Orci to take it over and stuff like that.
Okay. Which I thought was supposed to be the Sinister Six movie.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, he was supposed to do Spider-Man? I never heard about that news. I mean, I guess it makes a little sense why Mark Webb's not coming back, because it underperformed and they weren't happy about that. But, I mean, I don't even think it's the director's fault. It's just, it's Sony's. I mean, you know, they have a character, unfortunately, that people kind of want to see go back to Marvel. So, you know,
and that's what they're going to deal with. I think, honestly, this is going to be it. Because, I mean, what can they do within the franchise? I mean, they have beat it to death, and it's not working for them. So they only have a certain time period that they can hold on to and produce something else. And I don't foresee them spending the money again for something that's going to fail that fast.
Yeah, I think they're cutting back their budget. I think they're not going to end up doing that. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we heard some news that, you know, in the next coming months, maybe they're even waiting to Comic-Con, but... maybe the reason he left the project had nothing to do with, he just wasn't going to be involved in it anymore. He probably was maybe terminated, or they just said, no, we're not doing this. We're not losing any more money. We're making a deal with Disney or whatever. So we'll see.
Yeah. Cause I know for a fact that this is over money.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, if they don't make money, it doesn't matter how popular a character is. If people aren't going to go see the films, then, you know, what use is it to them? You know, so keeping the rights of the character aren't profitable at that point.
They just really dropped the ball, and it's really kind of sad because they actually had a pretty good cast with this. But
yeah, it's unfortunate. I really liked Emma Stone, actually, as Gwen Stacy. You know, she was a really, really, really good character. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a little sad to see this version kind of die because that's what it looks like is happening. But, hey, you know, I don't know. Maybe they'll get revived over at Disney. Maybe they'll keep them, you know, just...
That would be awesome.
Yeah, then we'll see. And people would be happy with that, you know. So
yeah. Maybe it'll be the spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah. So, new Doctor Who trailer, right?
Yeah. And dark and gritty again. But I'm actually kind of looking forward to that with this, because we have gotten a specific type of Doctor Who for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I actually am pretty accepting of the darkness that I think that we're going to get for this season. And in all honesty, I wouldn't be surprised if this plays out more like an actual miniseries than a continuation.
Yeah, I don't think that Capaldi is going to be more than a season. I think he's going to be like an Eccleston. I think he's going to be like one and done. So that'll be interesting. And I don't know. I mean, like... It's weird. I haven't had a lot of strong feelings about Doctor Who since they've announced their casting choices. I mean, I'll probably end up watching it. Well, probably. I'll definitely end up watching. But I don't know. I'm not as crazy about the show now. I used to have a lot of fun with it, especially back when Tennant was doing it. And then I'm just not crazy about Moffat. You know, I mean, just his stories sometimes hit or miss. But, you know, most of the time for me, they kind of miss. And they're a little bit disappointing and stuff like that. So even though this kind of looks like it'll be good... I mean, there was the script leaks. Did you read any of those?
I didn't want to. I kind of wanted to take it in. I don't have as much of a problem with Moffat as you do.
Yeah, I don't have a huge problem with him, but I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, I liked it before when Russell T. Davies was on the show because the show seemed to take a little bit more risk. You had interesting characters like Jack Harkness. You know, I really liked the companions during that run as well. You know, I really liked Amy. In the new run and everything like that, but she was a little bland too. I mean, like, you would want to kind of see her do certain things, like have like a growth experience, and it kind of seemed that she really was just like, oh, the Doctor wants to be around her because there's something, like, you know, with the past companions, it was about he found something in them and was like, okay, that's interesting. I like that about them. They're a little bit different than the, you know, average ape walking around or whatever. But, you know, with her, it was like, oh, there's something weird going on with you. And that pulls me in. And I was like, I'm not so much into that, but I guess we'll see, you know, I'm going to give it a shot.
I think, it looks promising to me. It looks more like the Doctor Who I grew up watching.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually okay with it. And I think Stephen Moffat tries some things and sometimes those things work and sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also Doctor Who and it's been on fucking forever. So that's going, yeah. That's bound to happen. I mean, yeah. It's just, and I mean, he's proven himself with Sherlock.
Yep. I still say this and I still mean it. I want to see Richard Ayoade, who plays Moss on the IT Crowd. He needs to be the next Doctor.
I agree.
A doctor with a big fluffy afro that I want to bury my face in because it's adorable. And I want to see him going around trying to save the galaxy. I want to see.
My question is that question on the fetish form?
Yes. Yes, it is. Richard Ayoade's afro is definitely on the fetish form. So
good. Good. Just want to make sure they're covering in their bases.
And days, so. Check, by the way. So,
there were some new details that I found rather interesting about the synopsis for the upcoming season of Better Call Saul.
It's a prequel.
Yeah. Did you hear what the plot line is?
No.
All right. I'm just going to read the synopsis real quick here because it kind of paints it pretty well. The series is set 6 years before Saul Goodman meets Walter White. When we meet him, the man who will become Saul Goodman is now known as Jimmy McGill, a small-time lawyer searching for his destiny and more immediately hustling to make ends meet. Working alongside and often against Jimmy is fixer Mike Emmertraut, a beloved character introduced in Breaking Bad. The series will track Jimmy's transformation into Saul Goodman, the man who puts criminal in criminal lawyer. Well, I'm loving this concept.
Yeah, actually, this sounds more interesting to me than what I thought it was going to be. So, I don't know. It's like, guys, straight up criminal. So, it's like, this isn't the first time he's really changed his identity. So.
I'm digging it because it's almost like... watching Walter White turn into Heisenberg. Mm-hmm. And in the way Bob Odenkirk's humor works,
mm-hmm.
this is probably going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll be looking forward to seeing it when it, you know, and I wasn't for a little while, but I think it's going to be pretty good. I'm looking forward to seeing it when it comes out, I guess, what, next fall? Or is it a...
I don't think either one of us know.
I don't have any clue when this is coming out. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it'll be out sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. So on to other stuff. That was just a real quick thing I wanted to throw out there.
Of course.
All right. So did you see the Trail of Monkeys TV show trailer for Sci-Fi?
No, I haven't.
There's
a 12 Monkeys television show coming?
Yes.
I think we talked about this before.
God, I wish you watched it. Mm-hmm.
No, tell me about it. I'll watch it afterward, but tell me about it.
Dude, I
entertain
was
me,
stoked.
Brock. Entertain me.
I guess I gave too much faith in sci-fi than mm-hmm. I wanted to. I mean, these are the people that crank out, you know, such awesome
Sharktopus.
Gems as Sharknado and Sharktopus and Pussy with Teeth. I don't know the things that they put out, but... yeah, so I was all stoked. I don't know what got me all excited for this. I love 12 Monkeys. That's one of my favorite Terry Gilliam films. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched it?
Yeah.
Do you love it?
I love Hate 12 it? Monkeys, yeah.
Okay. So to me, the thing that's interesting about 12 Monkeys is it's kind of claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And Terry Gilliam has like this look to his films. They're real symmetrical. And they're kind of claustrophobic. I mean, that's his look. And that's what makes his movies seem a little more intriguing. Not only that, he's a good actor, director, you know? So all those things together has its trademark. All right. So the TV show plays out. Take like the worst BBC drama you can find and turn the sound way down.
Shit.
I saw the trailer. I was like, okay, so someone doesn't understand what dynamics means in a mix for the show. it looks worse than the first season of Doctor Who.
Ooh.
Yeah, and not that I mind that, because the story of Doctor Who in that season makes up the difference.
Yeah, definitely.
But you get the look I'm talking about. It's like that. It's like the film, digital trying to be film, but really badly.
That's bad.
And just none of the actors seem like there's anything to hold on to there on the trailer. Now, you know, it is a trailer. I am going to try to watch the pilot episode when it comes out. But my excitement went from 10 to 0 really fucking quick, man.
Well, since I kind of forgot about it, you know, my excitement level has definitely not fluctuated any. But it is a sci-fi series, you know. I don't expect anything from them, you know. Nothing at all. So...
Yeah,
I haven't watched anything on that network. Well, maybe Will Wheaton Project, but other than that, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I love that show, by the way.
Mm-hmm, I do too, actually. It started off a little rough, actually, in the first week, but after that, it really got better. So,
yeah, the humor is really, really a lot better than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it delivered on the guts on that. And I actually enjoy watching it. You know, it is a ripoff of The Soup and Tosh.0.
Of course it is, but it's a good version of it.
It's actually, I find it funnier. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I guess it just appeals to my sensibilities a little bit more. But
well, definitely. I actually really like the, what was it, the Batman cough? Not suppressant, but whatever it does was actually making your mouth rougher, or your throat rougher.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. I was like, okay, which episode is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, if you guys haven't seen the Will Wheaton Project, definitely check it out. It's a good time.
Yeah. So Redford is going to be playing Rather. So what's this movie Truth? When is this coming out?
I could imagine next year sometime.
Okay.
I'm intrigued to see how they portray this story.
Yeah, I like Robert Redford. That will be a cool film to see. I mean, but it is a little weird that they're doing a Dan Rather story. But is it just like he's involved in the story? He's playing a character or something like that? Or
No. Basically, the story is, do you remember when the 2004 election, when Bush was running against Kerry?
Yeah.
And they had come out with those documents about Bush's Air National Guard service, how they weren't so good as he was portraying it to be. Well,
I wouldn't have had some marijuana.
So what happened was, you know, Rather was a real parading this story because he's one of the oldies but goodies. You know what I mean? He's the guy that goes and he reports the fucking news no matter who it serves to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those documents ended up being not up to snuff. And the Bush administration put pressure on 60 Minutes to fire Rather, and he got fired.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm remembering that now. But so they brought him back, though, eventually, right?
No, absolutely not. He was fired.
Damn.
And he ended up suing them, and now he's a freelancer.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that sad?
That's really sad. I'm looking forward to seeing that, then.
But, yeah, that's why I was pretty intrigued about that. You know, usually I wouldn't put a lot of biopics on our criteria for the night, but I was like, that's one that I can't wait to see because it's. I think people are forgetting how bad that administration was.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No doubt.
And they need a reminder, of what good reporting was at one time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that.
Well, this one...
Speaking of Bush, let's go into Gremlins. How do you like that transition?
I don't get that transition at all.
Bush and Jaina were kind of like Gremlins. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I mean, you don't feed them after midnight because they might lose their way back to whatever room they slept in. But go ahead.
Well, this is cool. So Chris Columbus. Is this cool? Chris Columbus is going to be on Gremlins reboot and also the Goonies sequel.
Which we kind of speculated about the Goonies sequel on off air about a week ago because there's a couple weird things here. And I might totally eat crow on this whole thing before it's up. But... they announced this, and then, which is not 100% confirmed yet, and the next week at Comic-Con, there is a Goonies retrospective, which it's not even the anniversary.
Yeah, they're definitely making an announcement.
Yeah, I think so, too. I guess we'll see if that happens, but if it does, I want everybody to send me free gift certificates for Comic Cinemas, because that's where I'd be seeing movies around these parts. I'm just trying to get some free shit out. That's all that's going on here.
You just want to go see Goonies. You want to go see a sequel.
But I'm actually okay with the Gremlins reboot.
I am
because
too.
It's not really a reboot. It's a sequel. And I'd like to see what they can do in this day and age with the Gremlin puppets and how they would combine that to CGI.
You know, I just recently did that Warner Brothers studio tour, and they actually show you the shop where they go and pick up Gizmo.
And oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. We actually got to go see it, and that was pretty cool. Like,
did you take a picture in it?
Yeah. Well, no, you can't go into it because it's just a facade. You know, gotcha. They're all facades, but I did take a picture of the place. I got to post all of those. I have them on my phone. I just got to get them up there. But yeah, like, and they were showing us a lot of places too. Like, oh yeah, you know, like they did Goonies on one of the sound stages. Like they had to build that entire ship on one of them. And I was just like, oh my God, like, is it still there? But yeah, I mean, like, I'm excited about actually both of those. That just kind of reminds me of childhood. So, and I always loved Gremlins too. I probably love Phoebe Cates more than anything.
Oh yeah. So I take it you like Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
You know what? Not really. You know, that is weird.
One of my favorite films of all time.
I liked her better in, well, I mean, I did like, you know, Fast Times, but I honestly was into a lot of the obscure films she was in, like Drop Dead Fred. You know, one where she ended up getting her hair cut off or whatever.
I hated that one.
I don't know. It was the only thing they played on HBO. Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah. It's not a great film, but I liked it as a kid. We already know my film taste as a child. You know, Miracle Mile and...
Miracle Mile. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but that'll be pretty cool. I'm sure she's not coming back.
Well, I hope she does. But,
I hope they bring back Billy.
Well, he needs work.
Oh, God, he desperately needs work.
He's like, guys, you've got to get me out of here. I have to give lap dances like every 30 minutes.
Billy is giving lap dances. Oh, great. That's fantastic.
I just like to imagine Gizmo walks into the wrong strip club, you know? Billy, you know? With a five sticking out of his mouth.
Oh, man. You know what? Honestly, you know what I remember more than even Gremlins? Is I do remember the sequel, Far Clear. I mean, it's weird. Like, you remember the sequel, of course.
Yeah, but you know it's actually ranked higher on IMDb than the original?
Really?
Yeah, it's considered one of the most important satire pieces ever in the history of cinema. It really is, and that's...
Well, I love John Glover. That was a nice little addition to that film. And, of course, you know, they're inside the television studio running and making havoc, and they were like, mutating and stuff like that.
Yeah,
definitely. I was happy with that film. I like that.
Yeah, so. It is actually one of the few films that is considered better than the original and studied in film class.
Seriously?
Yep, look it up.
That is fantastic. All right. Well, let's see. What's the next one? Okay, so... Please, God, tell me this is just a rumor, as it should be, and not actual reality. Stephen Moffat is maybe going to direct a Star Wars? Is that what this says?
Yeah.
Okay, so where does this rumor come from? That's what I want to know.
Supposedly, from what I understand, Rian Johnson is not confirmed as director for 9.
Okay.
And Stephen Moffat is the one in talks for 9 with a script by Rian Johnson. And I'm actually on the opposite end of this, and I actually think it's a great idea. Because you're thinking of Stephen Moffat on the BBC, on the shoestring budget that the BBC provides.
No, I'm thinking of
and
the
Sherlock is
Stephen
really
Moffat.
Good. And Sherlock is really good. So
yes, but he's not so much to do with that more than the guy who actually plays Mycroft on that show. He has more to do with that than Moffat does.
But you also have to take in Moffat's visuals a little bit. Now take that up to a bigger budget and probably better actors.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be okay. I would rather see him have it than
writing
a lot of
it.
Other people.
The thing is, he's not writing it.
There's that.
But, you know, the thing is that I have never really seen Moffat as a director. Moffat actually is a writer, you know, an executive producer. So he's a showrunner.
Right.
I know how that translates to him directing, like, a Star Wars film, though.
You would be surprised. Because a lot of executive producers basically are taking on the director role anyway. So technically, yeah, he has directed. Because a lot of executive producers are in control over the final product. And they tell the writers and they tell the new directors what they want them to do.
Okay. Well.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, it is a rumor. Nine is years and years ahead of us. So it may not even be anything that ever happens.
So how the hell does this next one happen? So a Dumbo live-action remake coming from Transformers writer?
Okay, so I see this two different ways. All right, one way is God help us all.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how much I trust from Transformers writers. I also don't know what art direction they're taking with this. Now, if they do something like Legends of the Guardians with it, I could see it working.
Maybe.
Like, more of that artistic-looking CGI. I could probably see that.
I don't know if I need to see the story of Dumbo again.
I don't either. I'm just trying to... I'm playing devil's advocate, and you're not letting me. And I'm going to go cry in my corner now.
Yeah, this is a Dumbo film. Why are you playing devil's advocate for a Dumbo film?
Because I'm trying to imagine, like... Because it's one of those things where, like, you know, there's, like, execs in a room. And, like, you're trying to swing both. Like, you're trying to figure it out. It's like, okay, what is appealing to these execs to want to make this film? So, you know, I try to think, okay, the Coke version of the execs just snorting off all that cocaine. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, they're going to have fucking, like, laser blasters coming out of Dumbo's butthole. I don't know. And then there's, like, part of me that's like, okay, they really want to do something that could win an Academy Awards with this, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, this one's just not on my radar right, you know? So I'm, like, trying to play both sides. I don't know.
Do you think that they're really aiming for Academy Awards with Dumbo?
They could. They could.
This is such a bad idea.
If it ends up happening, I tell you what. If it ends up happening, if it does go for an Academy Award, I'm trying to think of what I'm going to get out of that. I'll come back to you on it. But if it does,
yeah, just name your price. I'm not worried about paying up on that one. So, all right, The Conjuring. So there's a spinoff called Annabelle set for October release.
Yeah. So I take it you didn't watch the trailer.
No.
How do we do a podcast and you not watch the trailer, L?
Well, honestly, I never saw The Conjuring.
Really?
No.
Dude, really? You didn't? No. Okay, I understand you don't watch horror films, but you didn't see The Conjuring?
Yeah, trust me, there's someone looking at me right now like, what? You haven't seen The Conjuring? Now I'm feeling really, really stupid.
You need to go watch The Conjuring.
Okay, that's on my list of things to do then. I'm going to watch The Conjuring.
Because it's pretty unique. Like, it's probably one of the best horror films I've seen in the last 10 years. And it's not like a horror film like there's gore to be gory. It's like, it fucking scared me, bro. Oh,
okay.
And it has, like, that 70s horror vibe about it. You know, like the Amityville Horror or The Exorcist. So, well, Annabelle is at the beginning of The Conjuring. I won't give the rest of the film away. And Annabelle's a true story. And it's about a doll that supposedly hurt people. Which is scary on its own. Because you can go to the investigators that were in The Conjuring. They have that doll in a glass case.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah.
So the fact that they're making this film that's basically a real-life Chucky, you better believe I'm being there in October and I'm going to piss my pants before I leave that theater.
Well, I'll send you out a pack of Depends, and good luck with that, sir.
But, you know, back to Dumbo. you know what? I'm just going to be real because I've done this to you twice now. I think the Dumbo is going to be a big piece of shit.
Yeah, you were defending Transformers a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Just want to point that out. Yes, you were adamantly saying Transformers was going to be, it looks good. I'm going to go see it. And you're telling your friends in private, this is the biggest piece of shit ever.
I do that with you, though, because we have to have some kind of argument on the show because we agree on way too much. So I think, you know, it makes the dynamic good. You know what I mean? It keeps a good, healthy relationship going.
Well, you know what? I should actually add a little bit of an update because we talked about that and we talked about Ninja Turtles, right? And I said I was definitely not going to go see that, correct?
Right.
Now, as it turns out, then my friend out here is like, oh, we have to go see Turtles. So guess what? I have to go see Turtles.
I wasn't lying about it. I'm going to see it.
Oh, God. And you know what? Honestly, I'm like looking at the trailers again recently. I'm like, okay, this isn't all that horrible. Why do they have nostrils? But I guess I can get over that fact. Oh, man. I'm going to go see fucking Turtles, man.
It's cool, man. You can return your Pavement LPs and Sonic Youth LPs at the door and your French films. Okay.
Oh,
Pitchfork review and called and wanted its attitude back. Okay. How many hipsters does it take to screw in a light bulb? Do you know how many?
No.
I don't know, but the old light bulb was better than the new one.
All right. Well,
keeping it real. Anyway.
Okay. So back to our favorite director in the planet and podcaster, Kevin Smith.
Was.
Oh, man. You know, Kevin Smith lately, I don't know. I haven't been listening to his podcast as much. And so anyway, the Weinsteins, they passed on Clerks 3. So they're like, no, well, we're not going to fund it.
Let's just go through a brief history of Kevin Smith for a moment here. Okay, let's take a step back on the Clerks 3 thing. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. You talk shit about a major player in Hollywood in an open forum over a film because it didn't do as well as you wanted to. Yeah, they're probably going to pass on funding your next film.
Pretty much, yeah.
Maybe you should have thought that one through a little bit.
Yeah.
So I really didn't feel for him on that, and I'm sure he's not going to have any trouble getting investors to come in and put money into a film that people are pretty familiar with.
Well, I mean, how much does a Clerks film really cost? I mean,
he said $8 million for this one.
I think that's bullshit. I mean, if he's doing the films that he's doing now for like $2 or $3 million, even this last one I think was $4 million. I mean, he can do Clerks 3. I mean, it's guys in a convenience store. How does that cost $8 million? I mean, do it on a red cam. They did the original film for $20 grand. You know,
well,
like, that makes no sense.
We also don't know that it takes place in a convenience store. We thought the second one would take place in a convenience store and ended up taking place in a fast food restaurant. And yeah. I have a feeling he's going to try to break the mold somewhere in this one, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is yet.
But they own the convenience store now unless they lose it or something like that. So I don't know. I mean, I just don't see that costing $8 million no matter what he does.
I'm in agreement with you. I'm just trying to think as a filmmaker, like, why it would cost $8 million. Mm-hmm. And I really don't have an answer for you because we don't have a screenplay. You know what I mean? Because there could be something crazy in there we don't know about. Maybe like, you know, the dick monster. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, I agree with you. I don't see what the $8 million would be for.
Well, yeah, unless they're adding a rubber poop monster, I don't think we have any problems.
Right. But I guess we'll find out. I mean,
well, anyway, I mean, in the meantime, he has still been busy actually making films, even though he said a little while ago that he was no longer going to be making films. But
which I kind of think he might want to keep that promise.
You know, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to tell the guy that he shouldn't make any more films and stuff like that. But, you know, he did do a podcast where he talked about a little, you know, little script idea that he had, and he ended up writing it, and now he ended up making it. So let's talk a little bit about Tusk, which is, well, we've already talked about Tusk, actually, in the past, but the new poster did come out. What did you think about the poster?
Love the artwork. Mm-hmm. Here's my problem with Kevin Smith right now. Okay, I don't want him to quit making films. In fact, I'm really excited about Tusk, and I love Red State.
Yeah.
Here's what I want Kevin Smith to stop. Stop smoking weed and having a new idea every week.
Yeah, he's had way too many projects come up and stuff like that. I mean, honestly, let's talk about this idea because this is just like, I didn't know that he was moving ahead with this. And this is like, okay, this is a bad idea. Yoga hosers?
Yeah. Which, to be honest, like the
yoga
story.
Yoga hosers?
The story sounded interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know about calling it yoga hosers.
Ugh. Before this, he was going to do the Jesus Apocalypse film. What was that thing called again?
Yeah, fuck, the I don't one, know. And it was Anti-Claws.
Oh my God, Anti-Claws. Oh my God. No, well, I remember he did like an episode back in the day of a Smodcast where he's talking with Scott Mosier and they're talking about him fighting the devil in old-timey boxing, you know? And that was what they were developing into a story.
Yeah, I mean, this is what's aggravating. It's like the guy has good ideas. And yeah, you know, I agree with him. If he's going to make films and that's what's going to keep him interesting, he's got to do things that haven't been done before. Yeah. And I can totally get behind that. But dude, some of these ideas are starting to sound like the workings of a guy that smokes way too much weed.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, it's one thing to chase whimsies. It's another thing to, like, this is our next film, Yoga Hosers.
And a movie about Jesus that's bigger than Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, dude. Like, you might want to lay off the shit if you can't handle it.
On a shoestring budget.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with someone that wants to smoke pot. Do your thing. That's your prerogative. But, dude, right. When you're doing it to the point that, like, people can pinpoint that's where your creativity's going awry,
mm-hmm.
You might want to stop doing that shit.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think personally the things for Kevin Smith that have kind of started turning me off lately, honestly, the thing that we were talking about in the last episode, Batman 89, you know, he constantly finds new ways to shit on that film for whatever reason when he does Batman on Fatman on Batman, which has definitely put me off. I don't know. I mean, I don't. Well, it sounds like I really have personal beef with Kevin Smith. I don't. I mean,
I don't either. Other shows I just, it's like weirding that. Me out, man.
But it is a little weird. It's like, okay, so someone who I've admired for a really long time, someone whose work that I really like and stuff like that, I just want to see some good stuff come from it. You know, that's it. So.
Tell Megan she's being loud with the door over there. yeah, I'm looking forward to the trailer for Tusk.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait for that to come out. We did find out, I think it's coming out September 12th
mm-hmm.
is the release date. And for those that don't know, Tusk is a movie about a guy that answers a call for a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he pays for his room and board is to dress up like a tusk or a walrus.
A walrus, yeah.
Sorry, I can't get my words out.
Which was based off of a spoof story or something from a newspaper article in London or something like that about a room and board for anyone who will dress that way for a certain amount of time. And then it went a little too far in their podcast where they were talking about like the scenario. And then it became this. So honestly, to me, it sounds like, well, this is definitely an original horror film. Like, I've never heard of anything like this before. So I am looking forward to seeing it. It's probably going to, I mean, I'd venture to say it's going to be pretty good. So got a really good cast.
But Kevin Smith, if you listen, which you probably don't, just slow down, man. Like, it's okay to smoke,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, like, come off of the weed for a little bit and make sure that's what you want to tell the public, because it seems like you're doing that, like, every week now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, there was a little while, too, I was thinking, like, are you giving spoilers to the Batman-Superman film intentionally or accidentally? Are you trying to cover your tracks now? I mean, because it's like, yeah, remember he's like, no, don't take anything I say too seriously. I'm just really a fan. Then he's like, oh, no, I absolutely have gotten insight and stuff like that because I know the people involved. And it's like, which is it, one or the other? You can't go out and make a statement and say, like, oh, no, I don't know anything. I'm just a fan like everyone else making my own little predictions. Like, oh, I knew that was going to happen. I've seen all of that. I know the plot line to all the stories and everything. That's what I heard. That's what I saw. It's like, come on, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. So did you get a chance to watch the new Gone Girl trailer?
No. No, I have not seen the new Gone Girl trailer. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. So.
This dude. Is the episode where Elle has not watched any of the material being talked about. Oh, God. I mean, actually, I went and looked for it, and I ended up watching the trailer, and then I realized it was the same trailer that I actually had gone to see already, months ago when it came out. So it was like, I thought this was the new one. So explain what happens in the trailer.
Well, no, I mean, it just shows more. It's mm-hmm. just, I mean, for one, it's got the Trent Reznor score over it, which is really killer. And
which I actually really want to hear, too, because I'm really, really, like, started listening to a lot of the scores, because we had a conversation about that recently. So it was like, okay, let me go find some more Trent Reznor scores. What else has he done? And he did Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, okay, yeah, I definitely have to listen to more of his stuff.
Yeah. So, and I mean, the trailer is, I think this film's going to be really intriguing. Now, I haven't read the book, but what they're doing is telling the story kind of from like the husband that supposedly killed the wife.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, it is creepy.
Yeah.
And that's a total Fincher thing to do. But right. It's just, it seems like it's going to be a real unique story. And this is what I'm taking from it about how our perception works now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that we will see something happen and we say, oh, that dude's guilty.
Yeah.
But he may not be guilty. Yeah. And that's something we have a serious problem with.
Yeah, it's true.
As viewers of television. So this movie's intriguing to me. Like, I can't wait to see it. And I don't even want to read the book. I want to go in and see the movie, and then I'm going to read the book. So I want to see the whole experience.
Yeah, same here. I'm just wanting to go see it. When does it come out?
Comes out in October.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that seems when that's when all the Affleck films seem to kind of come out during that period of time. Like, that's when Argo came out, like, last year. Yeah.
Well, it's David Fincher, so of course they're going to want it to go for an Oscar because he always gets nominated for Oscars.
Right. That is one good thing about my birth month. It's like a lot of good films right around my birthday, so I'm always happy about that.
So, and also, I just wanted to kind of throw this one out there because I'm personally excited about this. Bryan Cranston's been playing LBJ, mm-hmm. the president of LBJ, on a Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was upset because I really, LBJ is one of the most fascinating presidents in history. Because
mm-hmm.
this is the dude that used to pull his dick out on people.
Yeah. He was also the one who's like, okay, so my slacks, they bunch up in the crotch, and I need you, you know, to my balls need some room to breathe.
Right. And he would beat up people that disagreed with him, which we kind of need these days, to be honest.
Yeah.
So we always found him fascinating, not because he just pulled his dick out. It's just kind of funny to bring that up. But so Bryan Cranston's playing him on Broadway, and I was kind of bummed out because, like, that whole idea of Bryan Cranston playing LBJ mm-hmm. is intriguing.
Yeah.
So when I heard HBO is going to do the Broadway show, which is called All the Way,
mm-hmm.
I was fucking stoked, man.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, I finally get to see what this is about. So I just kind of wanted to point it out to everybody that this is going to be coming to HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't heard about it, definitely check out some of the interviews about it because it seems pretty intriguing the way that they're doing this show. So.
Right. And everyone needs to remember, too, it's not TV. It's HBO. So
human body odor. Anyway.
Hollywood Babylon. All right. So finally coming up here to the last thing here on this list. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and a Ghostbusters comic book crossover is coming. What, to IDW? Or whoever.
What's this about?
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Ghostbusters comic crossing over?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it about? Is that what you asked?
Yeah.
It's a crossover.
What's the story about?
Oh, okay. So what's the story about? I have no idea. They both are in New York.
You didn't read it, did you?
No, I did not.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even know there was anything to read. I just was let's talk about that.
All right. So, guys.
Okay.
So that ends this episode of this week's Straight Popcorn.
No. You have to tell me what's going on with the story. I had no idea.
I watched all the trailers. I thought you might know what this one was about for once.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I did go and see this, but it didn't seem like it had any details. I thought like you had more information that I didn't have or something. So
yeah,
that's interesting. Is there any information at all, or is it just an announcement? Hey, there's going to be a crossover.
Hey, L.
Uh-huh.
Make an L with your fingers.
Well, yeah, why?
And then just press it to your head.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
You failed. You failed, sir. But that's okay. I know you've had a lot going on this week. We had fun, though, right? That's all that matters.
Hey, we talked about these things. It was educational. It was educational for me.
And you know what, man? Who needs to talk about Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters crossover? That's just, I mean, you know, that's milking the cow and then making it produce another child to milk that one, too. Oh,
God.
So, yeah, fuck that noise. So, with that said, I am Brock Vincent Sharp.
My name is L. Nichols.
And you can find Straight Popcorn on Facebook at Straight Popcorn. You can find it on Twitter at Straight Popcorn and on Stitcher and iTunes as well. And you know what I always say? Man, pick popping that booty and bring it back.